Today across North America, we honor fathers. Actually, since 1922, the third Sunday in June has been set aside to pay tribute to dads. God commands us in Exodus, you would remember in the Ten Commandments, to honor your father and mother, and listen to the blessing that comes if you do, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Also in Psalm 78, it says that God commanded the fathers that they should make known to their children that the next generation would also know, that they may raise and declare to them that they would set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Another part of the New Testament which talks about fatherhood, which I really like, is from the letter to the Ephesians church. And Paul writes, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath." Have you ever thought maybe you might have done that? "But bring them up in training and admonition for the Lord." One day, a little boy was asked what the definition of Father's Day was. And this is a cute observation. He said, "It's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much money." Very cute, right? Another definition of a father that comes from Paul Harvey, the comedian, he writes, "A father is a man who carries pictures in his wallet where his money used to be." I think it's cute. "A father never feels worthy," Paul Harvey writes, "of the worship in a child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks, never quite the man his son believes him to be, and this worries him. So he works hard to try and smooth out the rough places in the road for those of his own who will follow him. Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough, so they can have grandchildren who are smarter than anybody's." I don't know if you've ever heard of the Elevation Church. Have you heard of it? It's a big church that's growing by leaps and bounds in the Charlotte area, which is where my mom, my father used to live, and my sister lives. It's a church that's very casual. The preacher actually wears like hooded sweatshirts and really awkward kind of pants and weird shoes. But I'm telling you, he is the most amazing preacher that I have heard in recent days. Next to my dad, of course, who's, of course, the best for me. But and his name is Stephen Furtick. Has a weird name as well. And I watch him for inspiration during the week. I have a DVR, you know, and I can tape him. And whenever he comes on, and it's half an hour, and it's great. And he talks about how one Christmas holiday, his human fatherness showed up. And I know it's not anywhere near Christmas, but some of you fathers only come at Christmas and then on Father's Day, so I thought maybe, you know, we could tie it together, right? But anyway, he talked about how as a pastor of a large and growing church, the Christmas season is often exhausting for him because they have many services. And he does try to make an appearance at a lot of them, although they do video cast him into some of them as well. And he said that he and his wife normally have an agreement that for 2 days, a period of maybe 48 hours, they do not travel after Christmas Eve because he's usually tired and sometimes his best self will not show. Does anybody have that season of life when you're tired and your best self does not show? Okay, but 1 year, he said, they made an exception. Do exceptions usually go well? Just thought I'd ask. Okay, so what happened is his wife wanted to see her parents. And they invited them to come at a certain time, so they were going to go. And he sent his wife ahead of him with their two younger children, and he and the oldest child stayed behind. And when they walked out to get in the car, they saw that the mom had tried to be helpful and had taken all of the trash from Christmas out to the curb. Now, it happened to be a windy, stormy, snowy day. Do you get what's coming? Have you ever taken the trash out and not really done it well, and there's been a snowy, rainy day? He said he walked outside, and he saw Christmas wrapping, and Christmas toy boxes, and stuffing, and ribbons, and everything all over his front yard and the neighborhood's houses. Can you imagine walking out when you made an exception to go to your mother-in-law's house earlier than you wanted to at finding this? And it's so cute how he talks about it, because he's a really good guy. And he says that he lost his spirit of Christmas. And he started to say some very not so nice things. And he said that he found this one box that he thought was big enough that if he lifted it up and he flipped it over, he could put it over top of a lot of the trash and save it from blowing. But what he didn't realize was in it, are you ready for this? Packing peanuts. And he lifted it up and he dumped it over, and in the wind, it was like, he said, the biggest snowstorm he'd ever seen, a big white packing peanuts that blew everywhere. And this is where he shows his humanness. He says, how could she have been so? And out of the back of his head, he hears a small voice saying, yeah, how could she have been so? And he turned around and thought to himself, huh, maybe I shouldn't have said that, because look what I'm teaching my kid. But then it doesn't even end there. He's so mad because he's got this mess, right? And he's got to clean it up and he's exhausted. So him and his other son, you know, clean it all up, and they call the mom to tell them why they're running late. Have you ever called somebody when you're angry? Have you ever said some things you might have wished you hadn't? And he called his wife and blah, 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 blah came out of his mouth, and blah, 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 blah came out of his son's mouth. I'm going to jump away for a second. Oftentimes, this story about the two prodigal sons is about the rebellious young one, although occasionally we hear about the older one. But have you ever heard of a midlife crisis? I feel like sometimes this story applies to us later on in our lives. That we've been given a responsibility that sometimes weighs heavy. You know, maybe our job is demanding, maybe fatherhood is burdensome, maybe our wife is sickly, maybe money's tight, maybe our job is asking for too much and we don't know what to do, and life can get hard. And a tendency for some fathers, and some mothers for that matter, is to have a midlife crisis. And we can characterize them, right? What do? They go out and spend, I know a personal friend of mine, I think I might have shared this with you before, his mother's grandparent died and left them some money, some extra money. And instead of, like, you know, using it to buy, you know, something nice for his wife, right? Which I'm not saying he had to do, but he went out and got a two-seater beautiful Mercedes convertible car. They have four kids. His wife has a minivan that's 12 years old that barely runs. Sometimes we're rebellious and we're the prodigal son when we are older. And I'm sure you're sitting there thinking, oh, preacher, come on, give me a break. You know, I don't want to talk about that today. It's Father's Day. You're supposed to say thank you to me. You're supposed to honor me. You're supposed to love me, right? There's a song I learned in college. Anybody a country music person? Okay, well, good, really. Okay, excellent. I didn't know that. In Jersey, I didn't even know it was possible to be a country music fan, but I guess some people are. And when I went to school in Auburn, Alabama, there are many country music fans there, just so you know. And Conway Twitty, have you ever heard of him? He's wonderful, right? He sings some really romantic songs and some fun songs. But he has one song that when I heard it, I started to cry. Because I thought of my daddy. It's called That's My Job. Do you know it? It talks about how this young boy is growing up and wants to find his own way, and he's like, hey, Dad, if I pay half the train fare, can you pay the other train half, you know, and then I can go out on an adventure and you know, have fun. And then he says, but what about if I can't make it? Can I come back home? And Conway Twitty sings, That's my job. That's what I do. Everything I do is because of you, to keep you safe with me. The story about the prodigal son is amazing. Because the young man is thinking, hey, my dad's servants have it better than I do. If I go home and just tell them, hey, Dad, can I be your servant? Because I know I did you wrong. I know I made a mistake. I just want to come home and I just want to ask for forgiveness. If I come home and ask to be the servant, can you forgive me and love me anyway and let me work for you? But here's the beautiful thing. It's like Conway Twitty singing really beautifully, right? God says, welcome home. I love you. Let's have a party. You were lost. You were dead. And now you are found. You are mine. And I love you. And that's my job, for now and forevermore. Amen. We have an interesting way to conclude our service today. We are very sad to say farewell to